they came to Mount Sinai, and there they trembled, rightly so, as they beheld the majesty and the glory of God on that mount, and heard that voice and the trumpet sounding louder and louder, and oh, what a solemn view they had of the holiness, majesty, and justice of Almighty God. And there the Lord gave His law, the Ten Commandments, as you will well remember. And then, just taking one more step, also in this selfsame book, chapter 24 and verse 3, you read, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, all the judgments." And what did the people do? Now listen, this is very important. All the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord hath said, will we do it." You remember again, that was after Moses had gone again to up the mountain, and the Lord had bidden Moses and his servant Joshua to go up and there in the mountain for those 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord gave the details of the construction of the tabernacle. Now, the Israelites, as they saw to them that Moses delayed in coming down from the mount, they went to Aaron, and then they said, "Make us gods which shall go before us." But as, and just listen to this, for this Moses, the contempt, the scorn of the dear man that had been so gracious a leader. I would not think that all Israelites said that. It would appear not all. But this was the language of those that came to Aaron. And then they sought that Aaron would make them a god, and that they may have something to see. And as for this Moses, the man, doesn't say God brought us out, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. As much say we don't care. And this was only a short time after they said that they would do all that God had spoken. Aaron, oh, poor Aaron. He failed miserably. Sought that they would part with their golden earrings. And the people willingly parted with them. And as he received them, then, as you know, he fashioned them, and there was the golden calf. A calf or ox were the chief gods of Egypt. A remembrance of Egypt. And then Aaron said, "Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord." And he had built an altar. They would then offer sacrifices, and then early in the morning. And we read the people, they came, the sacrifices were offered, and they sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And you know with the detail of how they were found naked and so forth. Today, we have the Catholic, Roman Catholic, his Mass in the morning, rise up, eat and play. The ritualist is the same. Many churches today are satisfied with a morning service. Some have an early communion, but the rest of the day they do as they wish. I do not wish to spend long on this, but I want to speak of this enormous sin and see how that this is traced out today. And Moses comes down from the mount. God has spoken. He hears the sound, and Joshua speaks as he comes down from the mount, and he says that this is a noise of war. But it is not the voice of those that shout for mastery, nor the voice of them that cry for being overcome. The noise of them that sing do I hear. And when Moses saw that golden calf, his anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and break them beneath the mount, and took the calf, ground it to pieces, and made the people drink of the powder strewn upon the water. Aaron, what do you mean, says Moses? And what did these people want to do? Thou hast brought so great a sin. That's it. I'm emphasizing. It's not very pleasant, is it? And I want you to think, my friend, of your own life. It's very solemn. Think of our sin. But here, your great sin, and how Aaron tried to excuse himself and said how that the people had come to him, and he says, I they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and out came this calf. Oh, friend, and Moses saw the state of the people, and then said, who is on the Lord's side? Now, there were those that were separate, the Levites particularly, and there again came the solemn word put on their sword and to exact the justice of God, and many were slain, about 3,000 that day. And Moses says, ye have sinned, a great sin. But what did he say? But they said, this Moses... I, says Moses, will go unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. That is to plead that God will have mercy upon you and spare you. At first, there was no sign of repentance. And how Moses pleaded with God to have mercy upon them. But I mustn't take too much time, but I want to just stress this dark, solemn background. And then the Lord threatened that he would not go with the people, and told Moses to go and lead them through, and he would send an angel before thee. And then the people were brought to sorrow. They were brought and they mourned, and no one put on their ornaments. And we read here that they stripped themselves of the ornaments by Mount Horeb. It seemed to be an evidence of true repentance. Just one more thing. Moses took the tabernacle. Now that must not be confused with the tabernacle that has not yet constructed. It would be a tent where Moses would occupy, and people would come to him. And this tent now Moses took outside the camp. But there, outside the camp, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle as the Lord talked with Moses. Now, I've just spent a little time. I hope you may say, I do wish you hadn't dealt with all this sin, sin, sin. But my friend, you've got sin, sin, sin. I've got sin, sin, sin. And God's going to deal with it. Make no mistake about it. It's not just something that we do and nothing else will come of it. It's going to be dealt with. It will be, because God is so holy. God is so just. And God demands that sin be dealt with. And therefore we have to examine ourselves. Shall I die in my sin, exposed to the wrath of God? Or is it the blood of Jesus Christ, my only hope? Is it the blood that I plead? Is it the blood I look to? Is this my only hope? Is this my earnest prayer? that the blood will cleanse me from all my sin and that bring me to glory, not only to escape the hell and its awful eternity and the just wrath of God, but can you bear the thought of being separated from the dear people of God for a never-ending eternity, and your companions to be those of the ungodly, the blasphemer, the dead professor? Oh, friend, there's some comfort here, and we can truly say, I love to meet among them now, and at thy gracious feet to bow, thou vilest of them all. And now the Lord spoke to Moses, like face to face. Now that mustn't be confused over the end of the chapter where he says, but my face shall not be seen. This face to face means as a friend. It means communion. It means closeness. Dear Moses, oh, the Lord's compassion upon his servant. How Moses had suffered. How Moses had pleaded. How Moses had, in his prayer, as it were, pleaded with God still to have mercy. And now Moses now takes up what God had said. Now you take, go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up, and I will send an angel before thee. But he says, no, I want God to be with me. So we have this prayer. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Test your memory. Can you think of a place where Moses could truly say that? Well, it's the burning bush, wasn't it? The voice that called out of that bush, Moses, Moses. God knew him by name. God knew all about his servant. And he says, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my soul. Come to that in a moment. Now we come to the text. Now. Is somebody praying this tonight? Is somebody needing guidance? Now, when I say guidance, not only as to which way to go, which path to take, which step to tread, but you may need guidance in handling matters. You may have hard things. You don't know how to handle them. You may have a decision to make, and you want God to show you that which is right. Now. The thought here then is to wait upon God, not to choose your way and then ask God to bless it, but rather to say, no, Lord, do keep me from taking a step of my own choice, preserve me ever from going in my own path. And here we have now, therefore, he looks back, and you can see now the wonder, compassion of God in the way now which he speaks to his servant Moses, despite all the sin, dreadful sin of the people, yet God is merciful. And I say that because surely we're not little sinners. Surely as we go to God and plead with him to guide me, help me, show me the way to walk, yet one so conscious of one's sinfulness and unworthiness, and perhaps to look back to how, well, I can think of one way in which I started to go as a friendship in the war years, actually, as a young person in Wales. But I only went so far, and the Lord stopped it. My friend, and I've had to thank God again and again and again, where God has at times said no. That's an answer to prayer. That's in his mercy, and that is in his love. Now therefore he says, I pray thee. Now did you see it? It's personal, isn't it? I thee, I, a poor sinner on this earth, thee, the great and holy God, I pray, I come because thou, almighty God, holy as thou art, just as thou art, glorious as thou art, there's a throne of grace, and there's a way of approach to thee, that thou dost bid us to come, and thou hast said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, I pray thee. And, oh friend, you may think of those personal prayers that go up from your heart in times of terrible need and distress. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Personal prayers. This doesn't mean to say, as you well know, that we don't pray for others. Of course we do. Because if we pray and have tasted the blessings of the Lord, we should pray that others, but especially those near and dear to us, that they will know the same blessings. But now, therefore, I pray thee, I turn to no other. I seek that thou wilt appear for me, that thou wilt guide me. He says, if I have found grace in thy sight. Now you may say, why this if? I do not feel that this if is the if of doubt. It is as I have found grace, because in the previous verse it says, yet hast thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Surely that was seen in the dear man's life, in his that life spared 3 months as cast out in that little ark, preserved and kept, and then the 40 years in Egypt, how there God was training, preparing him, instructing him in all the wealth and the knowledge of Egypt for the great work that he'd got before him to do. And then the 40 years in the backside of the desert, what a contrast from the glories of Egypt to the backside of the desert with sheep. And yet there Moses, I believe, was instructed, taught many a lesson. And then the time when God appeared to him, as we just hinted, that the bush that burned with fire, and commanded him and said he was going to send him into Egypt to bring his people out. And he says, surely these are the blessed evidences of the grace of God. Now what, my dear friend, can you trace out in your life? Has this grace reached your heart? These great blessings, spiritual blessings, I don't say the fullness of it. I don't say the full assurance of it. But that blessing that causes you to pray for blessing. I think I quoted recently an expression, something like, oh, Mr. George Rose, the former pastor, said that if you are earnestly praying for these blessings and seeking the Lord deep concern of your soul and your concerns, he's blessed you indeed, because it's his blessing that you're praying for blessing. And so, my friend, that may be an encouragement to the seeking soul. And he says, thou therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Now, not enlarging this, but just to give an example of another one. Noah was one that found grace in the sight of God in that world of wickedness. Now, here is Moses found, and he said, yet thou hast not let me know. Thou shalt show me now. He said, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now. Now what, my way? No. Thy way. This is it. Oh, friend, not mine. Friend, now natural being, if we're faced with a decision, a path to take, or alternatives, our first thought would be, naturally speaking, oh, what is the easiest, what is the most prosperous, what was the best for me? Oh, friend, rather, no, Lord, not my way, but thine be done. Did not that come in the hymn that you've just sung? It just comes, it says, now harsh soe'er the way, dear Saviour, still lead on, nor leave us till we say, Father, thy will be done. So in that way, as it may be a hard way, a difficult way, a perplexing way, at most we do but taste the cup, but thou alone hast drunk it up. Lord, I tremble at the way where there's a bitter cup in it, but I want to pray for grace, Lord, that I say, Lord, give me that, if that's the right way, because that's the blessing. Thou wilt help me in that way. I shall be helped through, and in it I shall find fellowship with thee, and it's a sacred experience. But now come back to the earlier part of it, where he says here that, show me now. Oh, the times when you are brought, I go back to certain crises in my own life, of course, particularly when I joined the Air Force. I knew, of course, that I'd got to go, but I volunteered a little earlier. But the point was, Lord, do guide me. And the Lord gave me this word I have told you, so I won't go into the details of it. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And then again, in the call to the ministry. Oh, how I remember walking down from my home to the chapel and begging the Lord to stop me if it was not his will. Oh, friend, it was the Lord's will, not my will. I felt the Lord had directed, but still I wanted the Lord to confirm it, and I believe he did. And then again, in the call to the pastorate here. Oh, the agony. Oh, the exercise. And then again, in certain events in one's life, decisions to make. Show me now, not my way, thy way, Lord. That's the best way. That's the right way. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. What does he mean? He's been up on the mount. He's been in fellowship with God. And God has spoken to him, as we read face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What does he mean, that I may know thee? I believe this, friend, as I understand it, and I believe it's the prayer of those that have rightly exercised. Lord, not only to guide me into the path that thou dost choose for me, but also that I may be blessed in that path, that I may be brought into a deeper knowledge of thyself, thy grace that is all sufficient, that help in every time of need, that wisdom that I so greatly need, and that I may know thee, the God of all grace, and in my sorrows that thou art the God of comfort, that thou hast promised that as thy day so shall thy strength be, that I may know thee. That I may know thee personally, by a personal experience. I have recently quoted that word, be still, and know that I am God. And that's an experience when we walk in those paths of the blessings of God, and to know something of the presence of God, the help of God, and a word given to sometimes to confirm. And yet that word that God gives sometimes has to pass through the fire, and sometimes you fear, well, have I gone wrong? Have I made a mistake? That I may know, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. You see, friend, as a grace is bestowed, the God of all grace, well, you know the word of God says he giveth more grace. And you shall need it. In the way that the Lord leads us, which is not the path of our choice, and it may be a path of trial, but it's to bring us closer to him. It's the right way. It's to wean us from the world. It's to humble us, to try us. Oh, I think in the book of Deuteronomy, where we have in the 8th chapter, if I remember rightly, what God described was the purpose of coming through the wilderness. And this is the way which God leads. And he says that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee. Mark that. The way that we're to walk is to bring us down, to humble us, make us dependent upon him, to prove thee, to show to you the reality of God's work in your heart, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, and so forth. Again, a little later in this selfsame chapter, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. You look back, friend, and see and trace out the hand of your God, supplying that need and the blessing in the path. So it says here that, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in my sight. Lord, I need more grace. Grace to be more like Jesus. Grace to be still. Grace to be humble. Grace to be submissive. Grace for everything. And he says, and consider that this nation is thy people. Lord, it is thy people. Thou hast promised to bring thy people through. Now the promise. Now, it's spoken as a promise, but it is also sometimes considered by learned translators that it is put rather more, shall my presence go with thee, and shall I give thee rest? Now, there's something in that, because the next verse seems to be the answer to it. As Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. Mark, that's a way that God chooses. And I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Then the Lord said, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I will do it, says God. I will do it. And this is our mercy. But now come back to the promise, my presence. And this is a promise. And this is sealed up in it. Whether it is spoken as first shall I, then God says, I will do it. So the promise is there, my presence. And if thy presence, oh, how can I bear it? Why, my sin drove thee out, as it were, drove me out of garden and broke into the communion with God. But Christ Jesus in his precious blood brings me back. And oh, that I may know more and more of that closer walk with God, my presence. And I was thinking a little on this, presence. And in the Deuteronomy again, in I think chapter 2 and verse 7, about the 40 years, and how the presence of God had been with his people. And then again, later, the promise to Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong, of a good courage, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And then later, you read when David was encouraging Solomon in the great work to build the temple. He says, the Lord my God will be with thee. So often we look at it, past, present, and future. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his purposes, he that has helped, does help, will help, his presence, yes, with us. Oh, friend, what a comfort, and I will give thee rest. And that rest in your own mind, that peace of God, that quietness of spirit, oh, and that inward trust and calm. And oh, as I not long ago tried to preach, when the Lord said, peace, be still, there was a great calm. And so it is. And I will give thee rest. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, may the Lord grant a blessing from these scattered thoughts tonight. I'm conscious of it. But I do pray there may be spiritual profit, and I hope you can see the little line of my meditation, the darkest possible scene, and yet God still has mercy. Now we mustn't presume on that, because the people suffered for their sin. We shall suffer for sin. But our comfort is this, our God changes not. Now may the Lord help us to go step by step. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. And then this, oh, to be found in his presence, and this will be the end, and yet a never end, when the end of the journey, the end of the pilgrimage, to be in his presence forever, and I shall be satisfied when I await in thy likeness. Well, may the Lord in his mercy bless his own word and help us to trust in him at all times.